You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Isn't it a good day? Birthdays. It's Nikki's sister's birthday today as well. It was my bum's birthday today, and apparently Queen Victoria, that's why it's Queen's birthday weekend, which is not what I didn't know why it was this weekend, so now it all makes sense. Because we discovered that Queen Elizabeth's birthday is actually the 21st of April. So there you go. But monarchies, we're in a constitutional monarchy. Monarchies, we can look at them, they're good or they're bad. But throughout history, they have shaped us, they've defined us, and that's what happened. We can't do anything about it. That's what happened over history. Because, you know, people always look to a leader. They look to someone to carry them through troubles, to carry the weight of decisions. You know, if they go to war, to carry the weight of the casualties there. But also they look to a leader to lead them in victory, to celebration. We are wired to follow someone. Some of us are wired to lead and others of us are wired to follow. But generally, there's going to be someone that we want to follow. And so, you know, it's funny, in reflecting on this weekend, I thought, oh, there you go. Jeff and I have just finished watching our series 2 of Victoria after series 1 and 2 of The Crown. So we're all monarchied out. Yes. The sacrifices that husbands make. He liked it. But, you know, watching those series, they've both been really fascinating. They are dramas. There are elements of fact in there, but where the boundary is, I'm often not sure. But they are trying to capture the person who is wearing the crown. They're trying to discover who that person is and what's kind of going on behind the scenes for them. And as we've been watching, it's been really interesting just to see the weight of that crown on those two women as they wear it. And I'm not talking about the physical weight. Apparently there's two crowns, which I was not aware of. St. Edward's crown is 2.23 kilos, nice and heavy, only worn at the point of coronation. Then it's taken off because it's too heavy, I think. And the Imperial State crown, which is only 1.06 kilos, still quite heavy, is worn for openings of parliament and everything else. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the weight of the everyday crown, the weight of every day being the monarch. That can't be taken off. That's worn 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day of the year since, you know, Queen Elizabeth ascended to the throne. She has been on duty. There's no long service leave, no sick leave. No matter where she is, she's always on call. And unlike Prince Philip, who had the luxury to resign, she doesn't get to resign. And as I've, you know, watched these two series unfold, you look at that and you go, that is an incredible weight for one person to carry. It's an incredible sacrifice for one person to make. Because although we can be critical of the system that upholds that, in the middle of that, we still need to acknowledge that Queen Elizabeth has taken her duty very seriously and at great personal cost to herself and family and so many other things. And I really feel like that is something the series, both series, you know, also in the series of Victoria, that is portrayed very, very well. So I thought we could just have a little glimmer of that.
News of the king's death was announced about yesterday morning.
This young woman had a massive responsibility put on her at a time when she's grieving. She's had a terrible loss, the death of her father. And then her whole life changed.
Becoming queen at such a vulnerable age brings a set of responsibilities which then makes subsequent conducting a marriage or any family relationship incredibly difficult. Try to capture as much reality as possible. And doing that means you have to get all the costumes right, all the uniforms, all the detail. And I think the scale of it on screen proves the ambition of this show.
You need to scale it, needs the extras, you know, needs great costume design, which it has, needs wonderful location, and it needs that sort of wowness to it. But beneath all of that, there are all these stories and little intricacies happening everywhere, and they all lead back to what is the purpose of the crown.
Never let them see the real Elizabeth Winter. Never let them see that carrying the crown is often a burden.
I have seen three great monarchies brought down through their failure to separate personal indulgences from duty. You must not allow yourself to make similar mistakes. The fact is, the crown must win. Must
with. That is a heavy burden. That is a heavy burden indeed. And we can look at Queen Elizabeth and we can wonder who she is. She has worn that crown with great dignity and at great cost. She's still going. Sorry? 60-something years. Yes. Sorry, I forgot to check that fact. But you know, our series this month is on sacrificial life, looking at how life comes out of sacrifice. And I don't know if Queen Elizabeth's sacrifice has led to life. You know, I don't know what has come in that sense. But I know that her desire has been to at least lift people's eyes to look on something glorious, to lift them up out of their everyday. There was a letter that her grandmother, Queen Mary, wrote to her about the crown and encouraged Elizabeth to raise people up to a different place. But in this sacrifice, Queen Elizabeth II, she's at least presented the dream of life. She's put it out there and as a dream that people can kind of look at. But is that the way it's supposed to be? Is that what the sacrifice is for? And we can look at another monarch. It's time in the Bible. We can turn to the Old Testament and we can look at the life of King David. But first we need to remember that God never intended his people to have a king. God was their king. He was their king. But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people reject God as their king and they ask for an earthly king. We turn to 1 Samuel. It says, starting in verse 6, Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. Well, it's a shame that they didn't listen to that warning. He did try to warn them that earthly kings would bring trouble and bring hardship. But the Israelites did not want to listen to Samuel, to God. And so God allowed them to have an earthly king. He chose Saul to be their first king. But the weight of the crown on Saul's head, that was too heavy. And before long, Saul, he quickly started to make his own decisions with that crown, to forget why he was wearing the crown. And so before long, God was asking Samuel to anoint a new king. Now, King David didn't ask for the crown. He wasn't looking to be a leader. He was content with his life as a shepherd, musician, psalmist. He was chosen out as the youngest of, seven other brothers, and he is chosen and anointed for that job. We read of this in 1 Samuel 16, starting at verse 12. It said, "So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome and beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, 'This is the one, anoint him.' So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had bought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." This act of anointing by the prophet Samuel set David on a new path. You know, as the youngest brother, he's not meant to be a leader probably. But by anointing him, the Spirit of God coming on him, new things entered David that he'd never intended, that he never planned, and that no one could ever see coming. And so we move very quickly on then into the story of David and Goliath. And as I've looked at that in, chapter 17, I've often wondered, I said, why is David the only one in that place so moved to action by the insults that were said about his God by Goliath? Why did no one else get angry? Why did no one else kind of have that thing boiling inside of them that's saying, I have to do something that is so insulting to my God and his people? But it's only David that moved to action. Everyone else was paralyzed by fear. And I suspect that it had something to do with that anointing, that it had something to do with the weight of the crown that he was carrying, even though he wasn't actually crowned at that point. Because in that anointing, the weight of leading God's people, the Spirit of God came into him. And that's what motivated and drove him to action. I'm sure probably deep down he would have just loved to be a shepherd and go back to the sheep and life would be easy. Sounds much nicer. But David sacrificed this in order to lead God's people, in order to unite them, to bring them together properly as one nation, not just as all these tribes, but together as a nation, to bring them into years of peace. That's what he left his son, years of peace and prosperity. It wasn't just for himself, for his glory, but it was for God's people. So David set this example, mostly. We know that he made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. But he set an example of living the life the way that God kind of wanted his people to lead. If we look across the history of the Israelites, it's probably this period that is the most time when they got it together. When they were following him, they were, worshipping him with their heart. Because David had a heart after God. And so when we look at the sacrifice of Queen Elizabeth, who presented the dream of a life, or presents that dream, and then we compare that to the sacrifice of King David, who led his people to the possibilities of life. This is what life can be like. If you do things this way, life can be good. David led them into that. That seems more like what sacrificial life is about. As a kid, I'm going to leave it. My crown. It's a fun thing to play, dressing up, isn't it? I did lots of dressing up games. We didn't have a crown though. And I know that it's not just girls that like playing games. Not looking at anyone in particular. You're the only one game enough to sit in the front row. But, you know, this whole concept of wearing a crown, it's kind of also a bit accurate as to what we're doing in real life. We just don't do it with a plastic crown. Because we want to be in charge of our life. We want to make our own decisions. It's kind of this thing inside of us fighting for authority over our own life. And just like the Israelites rejected God as their king, we do that too. We say, no, I think I can work this one out. You know, today's different. Hang on, Di, ask me at the end. Today is a different day. You know, we've got technology. It's not like the, you know, back in the Old Testament. It's all different. So I need to work out my life this way and I make my own decisions because it's all different. And so we reject God and we don't think he's relevant. But this is the story of humanity always, trying to do life our own way and ignoring God. But the weight of this crown, even though it might be imaginary or plastic, it's actually really heavy. Because the weight of making our own choices, the weight of making mistakes, the weight of all those things separating us from God is so heavy. And I know this is how I felt before I discovered how to take off my crown. And I don't know if this is how you feel sometimes, that sometimes that the weight of those decisions you're making, the weight of living your own life is hard and heavy. And it's squashing you. I don't know if that's how you feel this morning as you come to church. But you see, we were never meant to put a crown on our own head. We were never meant to place it there, and it can be taken off. First, I'll just tell you about one more crown. Did you see there's one crown in history that has weighed more than any other crown? This one was made of thorns. When Jesus was beaten and he hung on the cross, he had a crown of thorns rammed into his head. In Matthew 27, it says, some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the headquarters and they called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." When they rammed that crown on his head, it dug in. It drew blood. They intended for that crown to mock him, to hurt him, to belittle him, to destroy him. But in fact, what they didn't realize that it was actually speaking truth about him. Jesus was the King of the Jews and everyone else. That was the crown that weighed heavily on him. He was responsible for us. He carried the weight of humanity. That crown did draw blood, but not just on his head. You see, when Jesus was up in heaven, when he was creating the world and reigning with God, he wore a different crown. It was a glorious crown. It displayed who he was, the Son of God, the maker of the universe. But he set that down. He set it aside when he came down to earth to pick up another crown with thorns. And so that crown of thorns represents all that Jesus sacrificed, all of his glory, all of his reputation, his honor, his power. All of that Jesus sacrificed when he came down to earth and he died on the cross. And it was all for one reason. It was all that he could actually give us life. Because the crown that Jesus wore, it means we can take off our heavy crown and take that off our head, and we can let him be king the way he's supposed to be. We saw that Queen Elizabeth, the sacrifice that she made, just presents a dream of life. We saw that sacrifice that King David made, leading God's people, he showed them the possibilities of what life could be. But the sacrifice that Jesus made, that surpasses them all, because he actually gives life. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the bit I'm here for, really. You know, it's good to look at those monarchies. It's good to see that a crown has weight, that it's important, that things go on when you're wearing that thing. But the whole reason that Jesus sacrificed in order to give us life was for us to live that life, not just to kind of say thank you and be done with it. The sacrifice that Jesus made when he wore the crown gave us life. When we live this life we've been given, in sacrifice to him, then we actually receive a crown from him. We are given a crown. It's not placed on our heads by ourselves. It's placed there by God. The whole thing is turned around. We don't sacrifice when we went to put, you know, we have this crown on and it's a sacrifice and so we get life. The sacrifice was made. And so we live this life by the sacrifice of Jesus, the faith in him. And in response, we sacrifice. And then we're given a crown. You know, Paul, in the New Testament, he frames this so brilliantly. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we sang this morning that I am free indeed. Well, what does that mean, to be free indeed? Well, here Paul says, verse 19, says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To the weak, I become weak, down in chapter verse 22, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And he says, do you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Paul knows that he is free. He is free indeed. He would sing that with us. But he, in a sense, sacrifices that freedom for the sake of others knowing God. You see, that gift of life that he received that gives him his freedom is so precious to him that he will sacrifice that freedom so that other people can have that gift of life. He's not restricted or obligated to any person, but he chooses to walk beside them. He chooses to understand them for the sake of them knowing Jesus. Paul sacrifices his own agendas for the sake of others knowing Jesus. We can get so caught up in what we think God's agenda might be in a circumstance. God's only agenda is that people come to know Jesus. He really doesn't care how that happens. He just wants them to know Jesus. And so when we kind of get fixated on an issue or an agenda or a morality or a system or anything, even if we just get fixated on this church, I love it. All right. But that's not our agenda. Our agenda is Christ and Him alone. And Paul urges us to live this life that we've been given, to live it well, to run in such a way that we would actually deserve a crown, that we would get to the end of life and that crown would be placed on our head. We didn't stick it there thinking we could do it, but that we come at the end and God goes, "You are very deserving of this, to be my child, to be a prince and a princess in my family. You have earned that just by your life, the way you've run your race." And so we look at ourselves and we can have freedom. We don't have to carry that crown on our head. We don't have to wear that and wear the weight of what that means. But have you taken off your crown? Have you received life from Jesus' sacrifice? Have you said to him, "I want you to be my king"? And have you given up trying to do things your way? That's what it means to become a Christian, to become a little Christ, to follow him, that Jesus would be your king and you're not trying anymore. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you, if you want to do that today, I'll give you that opportunity. But also we need to look at our life and think, am I actually living this life that I've been given? Am I living it to the best of my ability? Am I running this race with my whole heart? Am I putting everything into it that I can put into it? You know, sometimes it's easy to have our own agendas. It's easy to you know, talk to who we want to talk to, be with who we want to be with. I was thinking earlier this morning, I was thinking about, you know, when you go to an event function, and there's a lot of people in the room, some you know, some you don't know. How easier is it to gravitate to the people you know, that you're comfortable with? How easy it is to just kind of slide in there and be comfortable. But that's my agenda. I don't want to be get put in awkward circumstances. I don't want to have awkward conversations. I just want to enjoy myself and have fun. That's okay. We can have a chat to our own friends. But if I was Paul, if I could learn anything from him, I could walk into those places and go, you know what? It doesn't matter if I've got nothing in common with anyone else here. I can walk beside them. I can get to know them. I can have conversations with them and hopefully in some small way, stepping out of my agenda and my comfort zone, I can let God's agenda come in there, work through me, and in some way that I could bring them to Christ, or at least a part of the journey. That in everything that we do, that we're running that race and we're living that life we're given with that mindset that it's about passing that on, passing on the life we've been given, just like Paul sacrificed his freedom for the sake of others knowing Christ, that we would sacrifice our freedom, not to get life, but for the sake of other people knowing, having life. And that excites me because there's so many people out there. There's so much that can be done, so much fun we can have when we look at God's agenda or let him lead us. But the other thing, the other part of that, the other part of running that race, that we might be deserving of a crown, is that there's so many things that can slow us down. I want to win my race. Sorry, I'm competitive. My kids know that. I am competitive, but I want to win. I do. And I want to win this life that God has given me. It is a privilege to have been given life. And so I wanna win this race and do it well. It doesn't mean that I have a better chance of getting to heaven. I'm already going there. I know I'm gonna get to the end. But I wanna get there well. And so what is it that might sidetrack me? Is it peers? Is it friends? Is it work colleagues? Is it family? Are there people and things in my world that will distract me from that goal, that will sidetrack me? Those people are great. We just talked about how we need to walk beside them. But it's one thing to walk beside them. It's another thing to be completely influenced by them. We can walk with people, but we don't have to be influenced by them. The other thing is, you know, is it something more practical that could sidetrack me? Could I get stuck on watching whatever next series is going to come up on Netflix? You know, series are fun, but they can be consuming. Is it social media that is consuming me, or a hobby? Sports or other recreation? Is there something else that, although good in itself and fun and enjoyable and a blessing, what point does it tip and sidetrack us and distract us from really what our life is about? All the time we're walking this tightrope of enjoying the blessings and the favor and the life that God has given us through the sacrifice of Jesus, but also finding that little balance of learning how to sacrifice it at the same time in order to live the life and bring other people to Jesus so that they can have life too. And it feels like we're kind of, you know, walking on this tightrope. But that's our life. That's what we're here for. And I love celebrating, you know, just that message, the tithe message this morning was brilliant. Like, how often do we just get confused that Abel got killed when he gave the better blessing? Like, that's just confusing. That's not favor, or is it? He got to go, God, going back to heaven quicker. I think that's great favour. But, you know, it confuses us. We don't understand these things. But there's no, so many things are not clear. And this is why we need Jesus to be our King. That's why we need Jesus to wear that crown. Because he is the one that can unravel the Bible. He's the one that can make sense of it today, in our world today, in our society. He can do that. He wrote it for eternity, not just for the Israelites and the New Testament people. He wrote it for eternity. That's why we need Jesus to be our King. So this morning as we sit here and, you know, we can celebrate Queen Elizabeth, and we can acknowledge and the sacrifice that she has made honorably and to the best of her abilities. We can look at that and we can see the glory of what a crown represents. And we can remember King David and we can see how he lived his life and he sacrificed much for the sake of that, showing the possibilities of what life in God could be. But how much greater is it that we can reflect on Jesus' sacrifice as King, wearing that crown of thorns, so that he could actually give life to us?
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your love.